cliffcentral.com. Fashion Lab on cliffcentral.com.
Welcome to the Fashion Lab, and thank you for tuning in. Now, today's show is another one of those shows where we're going to be discussing and just talking an overview over the European fashion market with a special guest who's also a fashion expert, who will be joining us all the way from Lisbon, Portugal. They call it Lisboa. Now, fashion is a business, and to be able to keep up and keep sales high, obviously we've got to shift a few strategies considering how globalization is also changing the name of the game. According to an article I came across on habn2growth.com, they basically are talking around the impact of globalization on businesses globally. And obviously this affects us, whether you're in fashion, whether you're in selling bread. I'm sure we are all going through the same thing. So expanding the geographic footprint of your business has always been an expensive and risky proposition. The risks have not gone away. They've actually just shifted. Currently, globalization is a developing and stabilizing force. However, there's got to be some caution, because obviously times change, markets are fluid, short-term opportunity abroad abounds, and obviously with that opportunity becomes potential for future risk. So, you know, they say if you're not taking aggressive steps to expatriate your business, maybe you're making a big mistake. However, because you guys are on Twitter as well, what is your take on the impact of globalization when it comes to your fashion business? Our lines are open, and we're also on Twitter on Fashion Lab AF, and we'd love to hear from you. We definitely have a WhatsApp line as well, which is +27 79 748 2090. We'd love to hear from you. And this is going to be a very interesting topic. I also believe that, you know, for us to do business, for us to be able to grow, it's important for us to touch base with what's happening in other fashion markets across the globe. Now, before I introduce our special guest today, we're joined by Morag Stein, who is our internationally accredited beauty consultant and makeup artist. She'll be glamming up the show with her glam up, and she's here with us.
Hi! Finally,
welcome to the show,
Morag.
Yes,
thank you.
Back in studio, you know, someone's been gone for a while. And what are you wearing? What's inspiring your look?
So I'm probably, I think everyone was a bit shocked when I walked into studio today. It's probably the most casual I've ever been. But I literally rushed from set to studio. So I'm really in my set clothes. And as someone in the industry, or those that are listening, you'll understand what I mean by set clothes, because it involves skinny jeans, sneakers, and a really comfortable tee. So that's pretty much what I'm wearing. But yeah, I'm still fashionable. You know, you can't be like putting on anything. I mean, I did think about this very casual outfit for a few hours. And I'm wearing my new Converse sneakers. I mean, Liz, you know, I'm quite a sneaker whore, but I got these Converse sneakers last week, and I'm really loving them. I've never been a Converse girl, so I'm like a Converse virgin. So, but I am loving them. They're very comfortable. And Liz, you're also looking very casual today.
This is the most casual I've looked, and I think I've put out some tweets. I'm sure you guys have seen me in this little big like t-shirty off-shoulder high-low t-shirty kind of vibe. I've got boots on and denim because I had errands this morning. Do not ask me where I was and what I was doing. All I know is I couldn't heel up and I couldn't skirt up, considering where I was going. But I think it's also the weather, and I think it's also I've had a very
this weather,
busy week and busy life. So I think it's also just a reaction of how I'm feeling and how clothes, you know, just work with the mood. Anyway, so that's what I'm wearing. Thank you for asking. Now, we're also joined by our New York contributor, Edgy Benson, with his echoes from New York. Edgy runs NU New York, a fashion services company based in New York. And Edgy, welcome to the show. We are glad to have you again.
Hi, Liz. Hi, Morag.
Hi.
How are you doing, you Edgy?
You're looking great. I'm good. Very good. It's breezy and windy in New York. And I'm good.
And what are you wearing, Mr. Benson?
Well, not looking as snazzy as you guys are. I'm in a crew neck cardigan. Mm-hmm. It's warm, and skinny pair of jeans. My uniform, you may say.
Mm-hmm. So you should just say set clothes.
You know, Edgy, exactly. you're so predictable, but once in a while you surprise me. So I hope that sometime today you might surprise me at some point of the show, whether it's the who would you want to dress and why section or just something surprising in the middle of the flow. But thank you for joining us. Now, just a quick reminder for those of you who are tuned in. My favorite segment of the show is called Who Would You Want to Dress and Why? And I promise today that we're going to give it a nice 7 minutes. So we can have...
Wow.
Yeah. Okay, well, 6 or 7 minutes. Don't look at me like that. And remember, all of us, that jointly between me, you and Morag, that this is a joint responsibility. Mm. And you are your brother's keeper and your sister's keeper. So y'all are going to have to just look at me and watch the time, including our lovely guest. But, yes. And for those of you who are tuned in, if you want to tweet some of your Instagram photos of who you want to dress and why, please feel free to do so. We're on Fashion Lab Africa on Instagram, Fashion Lab Africa on Facebook, and Fashion Lab AF on Twitter. Now, allow me to introduce and welcome our special guest today. From management of the entire production processes of some of the biggest brands to analyzing product trends for every season, specifically in Milano and Paris, she's competent in selection of textiles. She goes all the way to purchasing products. She negotiates prices for big budgets and has been in this game for over 25 years. Now, some of her achievements are around moving brands across borders. An example is in 2012, she opened a multi-brand boutique in Angola, Luanda, with the brands Brioni, Versace, Tom Ford, Ferragamo, and Valentino. In 2012, she also created the brand Portofino that runs two shops in Luanda and is on the verge of setting up more. In 2013, opened another multi-brand boutique in Maputo with the brands Armani, Ferragamo, Versace, and Zegna. Now, like I mentioned earlier, when I always want to kind of find out or share more about the guests we're going to be having in studio, I get overwhelmed sometimes because, like I said, I look at her portfolio and I kind of panic. But anyway, it's big. It's fat. I just want to literally go into introducing our lovely guest. She's a fashion expert, luxury and retail consultant, fashion designer at Mario Battista LDA. Please allow me to welcome to the show Francisca Marzilli.
Hello,
Lisa,
Eji, Morag. Thank you. It's an honor for me to be with you.
Thank you so much. Welcome to the show and thank you for joining us. And congratulations on your over 25 years of really grinding in this.
But you're painting me like a very, very old girl.
No, sorry. That's not how we do. Francisca, I'm just trying to let them know you've had experience. I did not mention age. I did not mention anything else. Some people start early, you know?
Yeah, you could have started when you were born.
At 12.
Yeah, exactly.
Francisca, you may have started at 8 years old. Who knows, you know?
No, I started at about 23.
Okay. Well, you don't have to be so honest, but listen, what I want you to be honest about though is I'm going to come back to you with what are you wearing and what's inspiring your look today before we start.
Today, I was listening to you and I'm perfectly integrated. I'm wearing my uniform too. A whole black garment. I don't have the embarrassment of choosing the combination of colors and so on because my closet is all black.
Oh, nice.
because I'm used to go out very early and I'm used to go back home very late, so it's the only way to
survive.
to be at ease in every ambient, in an industry or with lunching with a customer or something like this, so it's easy for me to to look comfortable.
Well, there goes the uniform, but I would encourage you and urge you to stay away from your uniforms because they're not very inspiring. If we have to ask you every time, we're going to stop asking you. We're going to start recreating what you're wearing. But anyway, welcome to the show, Francisca. Thank you for joining us. Now, to get straight into the matters at hand, I just would love you to actually just for a brief introduction, just to give our audience more light into your world. Let's talk about Francisca. Who is Francisca Marzilli and what are some of your highlights through this journey that have actually shaped you into the fashion expert that you are today?
My passion with fashion started when I was born.
Hello?
I grown up, yeah?
Okay, can sorry, we lost you for a minute.
Hello?
Yes, we've got you back.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I grown up to 37. I lived in Italy, and in Italy, as you surely know, it's easy to keep in contact constantly with fashion. Aesthetics and fashion. Everything has to be functional, but everything has to be beautiful also to see. Aesthetics is a value for us. So for me, it's somehow a kind of natural walking into the fashion field gradually since a child up to the studies, up to the university, and up to the first work up to now. Then my aim always was to be involved in an environment a charming fashion environment with prestigious lines. So I guess I matched the aim.
It's very nice, and it's obviously, I'm sure the whole world knows. I mean, we're all fashionable, but yes, there's prestige, and you know, when you think about fashion, especially from an Italian perspective, we know that some of the best crafters, some of the best fashion houses, I'm not saying the others are not bigger or better, but I'm just saying that we can definitely relate and understand why you're so caught up in that. Now, I just want to go into just this conversation today because we are definitely talking about a few, and touching on points around what's happening in the fashion industry. And like I said, mm-hmm. I've always loved the fact that we can plug in different fashion experts from across the world to just also share mm-hmm. their experiences, because with globalization being here, it will definitely affect how we do business. And the idea is to also understand what's going on in every part of the world. Now, you've worked for some of the major fashion weeks, from managing their shows, backstage showrooms, and activity planning. What are some of the trends you feel are shifting today on your side of the world when it comes to either how designers are showing in Europe today, or maybe the type of models they're getting on the runway, or the venues, and also obviously the after show sales? Let's talk a bit about, maybe let's start with just the venue, the models, the production of the shows. What's changing? What are some of the ways that people are moving and shifting, brands are moving and shifting towards today, based on maybe just the economic trends, or based on the fact that, you know, things have changed and people have to change the way that they work?
Yes, I would say that the motto of today is in every field, but in especially in fashion, if you don't change, you die. It's very cruel. But it's like this. You don't survive without changing. You cannot act and work as 10 years ago. You cannot act and work as 5 years ago. You have to work and act as it's done now, because otherwise you miss the steps, you miss informations. And another thing I wanted to point that is that limitant. I don't know if it's right.
Limited.
But limiting, yeah.
Limiting, yes, thank you. It's very limiting to think about a local business, because the media we have today are not...
So the big village that we were dreaming about 10 years ago, it's real now. And now we are talking by Skype from one hemisphere to another. So it's very limiting to talk about a local business. Local business is something I see it in a small atelier tailored that.
Okay, Francisca, sorry, we are losing you a bit in and out. Can you?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay, now that's better. We were losing you for a minute. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what you're saying is that, you know, being limited in a local space and setting up your local business is no longer is not the way.
Yeah. Definitely. Yeah. We are talking from an hemisphere to another in this moment, like we were sitting one in front of other. So I think it's all the borders
have been killed. The world is borderless.
Yes. I would say so.
And so
especially in a world.
Go ahead.
Especially in this world that is made of visibility, of images, of informations, visual informations, like fashion, is impossible to be fixed in a local reality, I guess so.
So do you find that through the fashion weeks in Europe right now, because obviously you just finished, what did they just finish? Was it Paris? Yes. What was the last one? Was it Paris?
It's not almost finished, but it's happening. Paris.
So do you find there's an integration of different brands all across this platform? So you look at Milano, you look at the designers showing in Milano, and then you look at Portugal, Moda Lisboa. Then you look at London Fashion Week, and then you look at. You know, do you find that there's so many different brands showing through these platforms that are not necessarily home brands of those fashion weeks, meaning there's a lot of integration when it comes to...
Yes, I can confirm what you say. Fashion weeks are now always more and more inclusive. So we can see even a reality from abroad that expose in Paris or in Milano or in London or also in Lisbon. But the aim is to match the public. So it doesn't matter where you are locally. It matters if you are visible, if you are in a media platform, if you are on a fashion week. It's important to be visible.
So now let's talk about Fashion Week and private shows. Are you finding that, is there a trend that is more towards Fashion Week and are more brands getting into Fashion Week now, or are brands actually kind of delving out and trying to find more unique sort of ways and more exclusive ways besides Fashion Week to show? What's the norm right now? Is it different between Portugal and Milano and Paris? Where are people gravitating towards?
It depends. We have a more inclusive system in the fashion weeks in the organizations. So also the organizations are more interested in knowing who is going to make a fashion show. But in the other end side, we have also another tendency that is especially is to show in special events, special environments like museums or particular structures. Now I'm going back over one season. I remember the last show in Rio of the Louis Vuitton. It was in an amazing structure made by an architect. Now I missed the name, but I guess that
also to find an extraordinary way to impress people, because everything is visible at this moment. Mm. Everything. I can take a picture of my shirt and put it on the Instagram or somewhere. So, black shirt.
Your uniform.
Do you think it is beneficial for designers to do a private show or to show at Fashion Week?
It's a good question. I would say that contemporarity with the Fashion Week is always good, because you can benefit as a small business. Unique business that is finding the best way to show his collection. It's the best period to show it is for sure during a fashion week in that town.
Okay.
If I have a small reality, I don't have so many, also so many sources, economic sources, resources, I know that, for instance, it's going to happen Lisbon Fashion Week. I can book an hotel, a room in an hotel, and show over there. Mm. So even if I'm not included in the calendar of the Fashion Week, I guess that one intelligent way to deal with this could be to show in a small private
show.
Yeah, more private, yes. But contemporarily to that event. Yeah.
What I was going to say is Edgy is here as well. And Edgy also runs a fashion house in New York. And he's obviously our New York connection, who brings out some of the scenarios or current state of matters on that side of the world. Edgy, do you want to just give us some of your echoes from New York. Give us some of your insights so far on the conversations. Obviously, there are some similarities when it comes to what Francisca is talking about, when it comes to the showing and even things like ideas of taking advantage of a Fashion Week period versus a little exclusive show. You know, there's all of these things. What's your take and what is happening on your side that you would say is actually could be the same thing happening in Europe, and maybe also some of the trends that we are seeing here in the continent?
I think what Francisca is saying is almost like, you know, it's like, I know we've used the word uniform too much today, but it's like a uniform mentality for the industry, across the industry, really. In terms of, it's really global. I mean, in terms of showing the work, you always want to show during Fashion Week, you know. But I mean, you can show privately, you can show, publicly. A lot of designers are actually choosing to show privately now because they have all these visual aids, you know. They have the important thing is visibility. So you can show physically in a local environment, in a small little place, but so long as the visibility is global, so long as it is happening within Fashion Week, where every eye is turned onto fashion, you're fine. It's not like really a big deal how small, how private. Important thing is visibility. Like, is it visible? I mean, there's so many tools, you know, whether you're live streaming or Snapchatting it or Facebook Live or Periscope. So long as all of those things are there, you are just as visible as Dior showing anywhere, you know? Mm. Yeah. And those trends are the same every Fashion Week. They're the same in New York, in Lisbon, in London, in Milan. It's really the same. Yeah.
Now back to Francisca. Francisca, do you still have a lot of size zero models on the runways in Europe, or are you seeing a shift maybe towards the more normal looking girls?
I missed the connection.
Okay. So what I'm saying is
I missed some parts.
Yeah.
Of
so what I'm asking is, do you guys have? Are you still seeing a lot of size zero models across the European runways, or have people started opening up and brands opening up their minds and maybe just the fashion weeks to get girls that are not dying of anorexia or bulimic? I mean, I'm just saying, and don't like Morag's looking at me and men and laughing, but I'm thinking that's the truth is because what I realized, even from last year, from September shows in New York, a lot of the shows we went to actually had more of a normal type girl. And I was like, wow, where are the models actually, you know? So the question is just, have you seen a shift of the types of models that brands are choosing to work with today compared to what it was before?
Yeah, sensitivity toward this matter is something that is developing a lot. It's strongly developed, sensitivity against anorexia and this kind of diseases. So what all the industry here in Europe is trying to do since several years, I would say, is to propose different models of beauty, different models of in this case, I think we are talking about feminine fashion, a more feminine, a more round kind of beauty. For instance, a big example, a huge example of this is how we see a Beyoncé or a Kim Kardashian that that are more or less a kind of image models are upcoming.
So
I don't know.
So the skinny girls and now want to look like Kim K on that side of the world.
No, I would say that being more inclusive, a more inclusive engine, the whole industry of fashion, it's including also another kind of beauty, a kind of, I would say, a kind of forgot beauty.
Yeah.
Since the 50s, we forgot that kind of beauty. Mm. But now, is thanks God. Mm-hmm. Is,
I'm so glad I have a chance.
Happening again. It's very...
I was like, hallelujah. Because, you know, Edgy, you just experienced the New York Fashion Week as well. Did you see a change? Is there a decline more and more on the size zero model? Or are you seeing just variety? What did you see this season?
You know, the thing is, fashion has changed so much, you know, and designers are trying to catch up with that too. You know, social media and everything else has moved fashion so far away from those other realities we used to have, the skinny girls. And anyway, I mean, in Europe, they are trying to control this. Like, but to be honest with you, the industry itself is doing without even any legal effort. You know, the industry is changing all of those things. Like this time in Fashion Week, the one that just finished, the silhouettes themselves, you didn't even need to be skinny, you know? The silhouettes were boxy and, you know, very androgynous. So for designers, you don't have to have this super skinny girl. The fashion itself is humanizing around just the realities of the buyer and, you know, the consumer is so directly, the reach to the consumer is so direct now. Everybody knows who their consumer is. And, you know, so it's not like you're trying to woo somebody with images that are a lie, you know, or that cannot be supported, you know.
Edgy, you know? On the contrary, I was going to say, I still see all of this. I still see a lot of celebrities slapping the media with lawsuits around the photoshopping of the fact that, you know, someone's got such a big bum or big thigh. Suddenly they've got a gap and they're like, that's not my thigh. No, that's not it. But anyway, I want to move back to Francisca when it comes to the retail side, because we're just touching on a few points. When it comes to retail in Europe right now, today, in the fashion industry, mm-hmm. do you feel there's a decline when it comes to the brick and mortar versus online retail? Have designers and brands gravitated more towards curating beautiful online sort of retail one-stop shops? Or do you still see sort of balance where you've got what? Like, what is it? Is it more online, you know, retail, or is it just kind of balanced? Or is the brick and mortar also still doing really well in most cities in Europe?
Well, I have to point one thing, that consumers in Europe are about Europe actually has I took note of this number that is very big for me, 738 billions and 900,000 inhabitants that are consumers. So the market is very fragmented, the market is very fragmented. One thing is to talk about the market in Italy. One thing is to talk about the market in Germany, about market in Spain, about market in Russia. So it's very difficult to give a unique definition of this. What I can say about the trend, an unitary trend from the last textile fairs, is that customers are always more sensitive to quality, to the quality price relationship between quality and price. So what I would say is that is a very fragmented market, and for instance, in Portugal we have a new wave of confidence after a big crisis we had the last 5 years. Now we are starting to see the light in the end of the tunnel. Brightly positive, but we started to be confident again, consumers.
A question to you, Francisca, is: would you say that the European consumer is more of, I want to touch and I want to feel and I want to try on this piece, or
yes,
do you, okay, I was, I that's was, what you're saying?
I was, yeah, okay. I was trying to reach this point.
Okay. So there is a future for the brick and mortar. That means the brick and mortar is not going anywhere.
No, I guess that there is a future for this kind of more traditional market, more traditional trade. But e-commerce can only improve the results.
Yes.
Because it depends from the locals' reality, from the local realities. For instance, if I have a small shop in the Provence, I don't know how's going. I need to move for a capital to a capital, or to open a site on the internet, or to give more visibility in the matter we were talking about before. Mm-hmm. But if I have a good concept, a strong concept, I have a unique product, I can count on this kind of reference, in creating this reference, and then people is going to look for me. But it's something that is constructed by communication. It's not growing by itself. I don't know if I express the idea of
It's just good to know if there is a decline in the, you know, brick and mortar retail's way of doing things. Whereas edgy, on the flip side, in New York, when you speak on behalf of the U.S. market, it's actually declining, right? Which is interesting.
Yeah, I mean, it's not. I mean, brick and mortar will always be a feature, but the market is evolving towards a lot more towards the convenience of online, you know. And so it's different realities. I mean, it's not super drastic, but I do know that brick and mortar is not as successful, I mean, as strong as online today in the US, you know. Yeah, it's just the convenience of but again it's local though. In America, I think convenience is a big thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Whereas
yeah.
in Europe, the consumer is happy to take a trip to the shop, try on the dress, feel yes. the fabric, have a glass
yes,
of wine.
I would say so. Online. Yes,
take,
but
take
it's
the wine
it's,
with.
It's like you say, when you I like to go shopping in Avenida da Liberdade here in Lisbon, or Via Monte Napoleone, or Piazza Duomo in Milan. But when I go to go there, talk with the sellers and try the garments. But if, for instance, I need to repeat one pair of shoes, for instance, or an accessory, I can do this by internet. So in this was the thing I was trying to say before when I said that e-commerce can help, can improve the results mm-hmm. in this sense. So, I go to the shop to make a first bath, but after, when I go home and I think that that kind of belt could match this dress I bought, I can do this by internet.
Mm. You know, it's so funny. Like
so funny.
No, Liz, right? So that's almost like a direct flip of what happens here, because here mm-hmm. the store kind of complements the internet. Like, okay, if you have a store on the ground, it helps your internet sales. Mm-hmm. You know. Mm-hmm. While for her, the internet sales are helping the store, you know?
But it's interesting, but that's why these conversations are so important, because, you know, and as I think a lot of brands who are looking to penetrate beyond their comfort zone also need to be able to be aware of, like, what are the trends? Because mm-hmm. what's happening in the US and the consumer behavior and the way that the retail bounces off of the shop on the street is so different from the other side that you have to really be yeah. aware of what's happening. I was going to just add on, Francisca, I was going to say you really have time. You know, I'm one of those people who, if I find a good shoe, or I find it, if it's the shoe of my life, it's the shoe. If there's red, blue, yellow, pink, and green,
100%.
We take them all quickly and
all.
Run.
Yes.
Because I can't
yes.
be in the shop for more than I'm going to die in the
yes.
shop. I can't.
Mm-hmm.
So, Francisca, you sound like the girl who goes in the shop and then you're like, let me see. Then you go dream about it. Then you come back again. Then you go dream
no,
about
I'm
it.
No, I'm not this kind of customer. But I'm not this kind of customer, but I can introduce you to some of them. what I say that is the first experience with the product, the first approach to the product has to be made directly. Mm. Experience the
yes.
fabric and so on.
Yes.
Then in a second time. You can have the finishings.
But Francisca, that's going to buy things two times. Why don't you just buy it in the shop or go and buy it online?
Yes, it can happen, but not so many. I don't have so many time to spend in a shop. I can pass out and buy something when I'm home. Hmm. Or I see something in the shop that I like, I don't want to buy now. But I keep thinking of it, and then I buy when I'm in front of the computer, and I can have a look on the site and pay that by credit card, and so receive it home.
Francisca, tell me, where do you see the future for fashion in general? With all, and I'm asking this, and I'll also get to pick Edge's mind and Morg as well before we go into Glam Up, but. Think about just the political trends right now. I mean, think about President Trump and his 100 days. And then think about Brexit, and it's still in the air. We don't know where that's going. But all these decisions that are being made by the leaders of this different global power regions are actually going to affect us in such a way that we don't even know what's coming yet. So where do we see the future of Africa, of fashion, not just African fashion, but generally fashion today? Where do you see us going?
For sure, politicians and politics are so important in our daily life that I think that it's difficult to preview something, what's happening. What I can say is that final consumer, I guess that here I can talk for a huge part of consumers in the world, are more sensitive to quality. This is what matters. About politics, who knows?
Yeah, but yes. And the reason we don't have to go into the politics, but the truth is all of that will affect what is coming next for fashion globally. Anyway, Edgy, what's your intake? What's your two cents on where we are going with this fashion industry generally? What do you think? What do you see? What do you predict?
I think politicians will always affect fashion in the way that they restrict commerce. But fashion also is an art. And during this last fashion weeks, all across Europe and in the US, you can see how fashion is fighting politics with messages and all of these things that they're doing. So fashion remains an art form that will continue to fight for expression, no matter what the politicians do, you know.
I agree.
Yes, thank you so much. Francisca, don't go anywhere. Edgy, thank you for your contributions. We're just going to quickly roll over to Morag Stein with her glam up, and then we will wrap up the show with our Who Would You Want to Dress and all of that stuff. So just sit tight and let's plug in Morag. Welcome again.
Thank you so much, Liz. Thank you. So, you know what? I've seen and used them all. If I could have majored in a lipstick degree in college, I probably would have. You know what? And if I look at my makeup stand at home, it's actually scary of how many lipsticks I own. You know what? And when I get asked the ever important question, what is your favorite or what color will I look good in? I'm really equipped to reply with quite a detailed answer. And the secret answers pretty much lie in the so-called cult classics, as I like to call them. They're the lipstick colors that crop up regularly in articles, in conversations. They're the best of the best. You know, I swear by them. I've done a bit of research to see which are the top lipsticks, and obviously which which are the lipsticks that the pros recommend. And they're really called the most universally flattering ones. So basically the studies have been done on 6 women, different race, different skin tones. And these are the lipsticks that came out, you know, that look the best on everyone. So of course the one that I'm wearing today is MAC Ruby Woo, which, I mean, listen, if you don't know what that color is, you're living in a
you should
cage.
Go sleep.
Yeah, no, really. So it's MAC Ruby Woo, NARS semi matte lipstick in Seap, and that's sort of a very bright pink color. Revlon super lush lipstick in Fire and Ice. I mean, Revlon's Fire and Ice is like 20 years old as well. If you don't know that color, you're living in a cave. Sleep. And then, of course, Urban Decay Vice Lipstick in the shade 1993. Clinique Almost Lipstick in Black Honey. That's a very nude color. And then, you know what? I really just today want to share, it's quite a chilled glam up session, but I just feel, you know, we're going into a season change. We're going into autumn here. The Northern Hemisphere is going into spring. And with that, I just want to share some of my favorites. You know, it's something that I would have loved to have done in summer. But of course, you know, as these segments go, we have to plan whatever comes our way. So it's just something, you know, that I really want to share. So it's really, we're going to starting from the crown, literally down to the toes. So, you know, I always say, literally starting from the crown, it's, as you know, as listeners, it's my resolution to meditate and get balanced. So yes, I do meditate. And I think that it's important for everyone. You know what, there's meditation sessions worldwide, free meditation sessions. So, you know, when you feel like you're about to put your hands in your hair and pull your hair out. Just do a little YouTube search, close your eyes for 10 minutes and just breathe, you know. And then also, you know, before we pull hair out, as you know, my hair is one of my prized possessions. It's all 100% what my mama gave me. and yes, for those who don't know, I'm about 30% gray now, but awkwardly, not in a nice way, because it's growing in patches. So I need to go and get my roots done every 6 weeks. And obviously I only get it done professionally. I do not home DIY this as much as I love home DIYing. And then I only use a color called Olaplex, which is a patent active ingredient, and it actually works on a molecule level, and it seeks out broken bonds in the hair that's caused by all these chemicals that we put on our hair every day and thermal damage. So that's the only thing that I use. And then of course, all natural products on my hair. Conditioner, I use the Miracle Mask from Marrakesh Products. And then my best kept secret for thickness and growth is actually a South African made product, and it's called Drenae's Miracle Hair Growth Shampoo. I've actually met Drenae. So she's this old lady from Pretoria. She's so cute. I actually think she makes the shampoo in her garage. But anyway, irrespective of all of that, it really does work. It's amazing. And it's completely herbal. And then, of course, once a week, I do the Vatica Garlic Oil Soak. And then on my skin, I obviously have my dermatologist, Dr. Rakesh Navaj, to thank for most of it. But my daily routine basically includes washing with an all-natural aloe vera face wash, then my magic turmeric and cinnamon mask, which I do twice a day. Yes, twice a day for 10 minutes.
What did you say? Turmeric and cinnamon?
And cinnamon. So what I'll do is, I'm not going to go through the recipe now. I will post it on my social media pages, but it is amazing. Liz, I'll give it to you later. And then, of course, I use Rufretti's skincare, and then I actually mix my day cream with a bronzer, and that gives my skin a really beautiful radiant glow as well. And then come hell or high water, SPF 50, and I use the one from Eucerin, which is available in most grocery stores actually. And then of course a smile. So if all else fails, just smile. And you know, it's a great distraction. And then also, I'm a firm believer of, there's nothing wrong with going for a little bit of a jab of, I woke up like this, and we all know where I'm going with that, a little bit of the Botox. And then, of course, I thread my face every 2 weeks, just because I really love the precision that it provides for the eyebrow shape, as well as the smooth skin texture that it has. So the makeup, you know, my foundation goes on really beautifully over a smooth skin. And then, of course, eye cream is key. I grew up with my mother using Estee Lauder's Night Repair. Until today, that's all I use. I swear by it. I recommend it to my clients. And of course, it is really amazing. And then also, please tint your brows and lashes. I don't know, there's some women, brunettes, walking around with like blonde brows. And I'm like, what? Please, there's nothing wrong with doing that. It looks, you know, it just gives you a lift. And then of course, I use coconut oil on my skin daily after a shower for maximum absorption, because that's when your pores are open. And then I also use the Caribbean Tan Cinnamon Scrub, which, you know, the cinnamon also provides an antioxidant property to your skin. So if you've got any reactions, or you know, you're feeling a little bit tired or something, it really just boosts your skin. And then I do dry skin brushing every day as well. This is not, now you realize how long it's taking me to get ready in the morning.
Edgie and Francisca, are you writing notes? Because I wasn't writing notes, and now I feel like someone needs to share these notes with me.
So dry skin brushing every day for cellulite prevention. And also, now that I'm getting older, I can actually see the damage that the sun has caused. Liz, you won't suffer with that. But yes, now I'm avoiding the sun at all costs, because I've just realized it's so damaging. So anyone who knows me, I probably smell like self-tan 90% of the time. But, you know, that's my secret. And then, of course, I'm obsessed with layering makeup. So I love to start off with a Smashbox product. So it's called the Primer Water. It's just so amazing. I actually use that as a foundation, and then I top it off with a rose water spritzer and just some translucent powder. And then also a great tip is, when you wash your face, dry your eyelashes with a hairdryer and then curl them, and that gives your lashes a great curl, and it also stays the whole day. Also,
my gosh,
in my morning coffee, I promise you, every morning I cannot drink a cup of coffee if it does not have a teaspoon of gelatine in, And this is obviously for my hair growth and cell renewal. And also a teaspoon of coconut oil, just to lubricate everything inside.
My word.
And also longevity as well. You know what? And just as much as I emphasize on male grooming and how important it is, ladies, it's important for you to do it as well. Okay. Please keep it clean. And also, most importantly, go for manicures. Go for your pedicures. There's nothing worse than unkept paws. And you know what they say about women who have manky feet. I'm not even going to go there. And then I also, you know what, the best mask that you can do, you know, prep shaving gel that men use. I'm not shaving gel, shaving cream. It's like an aftershave cream. If you put that on your hands and feet and then actually cling wrap it and sleep with it on, it's the most amazing moisturizing mask you can ever do.
Morag, what are we going to do wrapping our legs and hands? Who are you going to bed with? Because maybe it depends those on your schedule.
Those are your alone nights. And then also, as you all know, I work out every day when I can. And obviously, you know, with the release of endorphins and that also, you know, because of the long schedules that we have, the busy sort of day, the 18-hour day, I just find that working out really helps me actually survive. And then also getting back to stress management. I'm a firm believer in self-spoils. And this means at least a massage once a month. I know, Liz, you're also a firm believer. Yeah. It's whenever I can, you have to do it. Yeah. You know, and your body is a temple and we use and abuse it, but we forget to give back to it. So I feel like a little quick massage is just all that you need. And last but not least, be a water baby. Water is life. It's one of the most important things that we need. And, you know, our bodies are made up of most of it. And I'm a firm believer that water could actually cure cancer. That's how much I believe in drinking water. If you're feeling sick or you have a headache, just have some water. So I'm going to be uploading some more tips on my Glam Up blog. And you can follow me on all social media platforms at Morag Stain. That's MoragStein. Thank you, Liz.
Wow. What to say. We took notes. I hope those who are listening have taken notes. Morag, thank you for that glam up session. I was going to say, if you do not work out every day, you can still release those endorphins in other ways. Chocolate is very good. And sex is also very good. Just make
very
sure
good.
You're doing it with the right person, you know. But there are other ways. But Morag, thank you for your tips. For those who are tuned in now, you've just caught us winding up at Fashion Lab. We've been speaking to fashion expert, luxury and retail consultant and fashion designer at Maria Battista. Her name is Francisca Marzilli. And Francisca, we thank you for joining us today. It's been great having you on the show. And then could you just maybe share with our audience how they can connect with you, whether it's the website, whether it's social media, if you could just share that.
I have an Instagram and a Twitter, Franz Marzilli. It's simple. Franz Marzilli,
yes,
the one you mentioned.
I'll spell it for our listeners. Franz Marzilli is FranzMarzilli.
Yeah, exactly.
Thank you very much for joining us. It's been great talking to you, and all the best with your fashion business. And I'm sure we will meet again. And then on the flip side, we are on our Who Would You Want to Dress and Why. Do not ask me why we have 3 minutes, but we're just going to, it's just going to have to be what we work with now. So before you go off, we're going to start with Morag. Who would you want to dress and why?
I know I've used it before, but oh my God, J-Lo, Jennifer Lopez, that woman, I have the hugest woman crush on her. Like, I can't. I think she wakes up every morning and she looks at herself and she goes, oh my God, I'm more beautiful today. Or like, I can't get over it. So yes, once again, I would love to dress J-Lo. J-Lo, if you're listening, please.
Wow. Edgy, who would you want to dress and why? Actually, no, you're going to influence Francisca. Francisca, who would you want to dress and why? I'm coming to Edgy after you. You'll see why.
Lizzo Gumbo. I would like to.
And why is that?
Oh, sorry?
And why? We normally say who and why.
Who and why? Because she has a strong energy that I admire a lot, and every color is stunning on her.
Thank you very much. I'm flattered. Edgy, who would you want to dress and why?
I want to dress my niece. Actually, we're working on a project now for a week or so.
Okay.
She just graduated college, and I'm trying to kind of keep her with what the trend. I'm imagining she's in New York City, so we're looking for a big, boxy, oversized coat in Africa. That's the project.
Edgy, Francisca, there's a reason why I put Edgy after you, because he could have influenced you in a different way. Well, today I want to dress. I think I want to dress you, Francisca. I'm sorry to do this, but I'm going to want to dress you today because, and I want to dress you in a Liz O because you are going to have to find a way to take you out of your uniform. So I think the only way to do that is to dress you because my stuff is so colorful. You'll probably need sunglasses when you wear Liz. But I think it's amazing. I also like to dress strong, beautiful women. So actually, I want to dress all the cool women around me. I want to dress Morag today. I want to dress my mama. I want to dress all my friends and all my besties. I want to dress all the cool women, including you, Francisca. How is that?
Oh, thank you.
Well, for those of you who are tuned in, this is the Fashion Lab. We hold it down here every Thursday, 2 to 3 Central African time. We'd love to hear from you. We are on www.fashionlabafrica.com. Think about your fashion businesses. Think about how you're going to play and how you're going to adjust, especially because we are living in a time where globalization has really impacted the way we do things. Otherwise, for now, it's peace and love. Until next week.
Fashion Lab on CliffCentral.com. CliffCentral.com.